Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hello there. Our house is a mess. Get your ass in here. Welcome to Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. This is a show where we talk about influencing, dating, and just recording it all for the world to see. I am your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber.
And I am Ben.
Ben, you're back. I missed you.
I did miss you.
You did?
I did, yes. I was a little jealous, you know.
Jelly?
A little jealous.
Of Vinny and Raven?
Yeah, it looks like you were having a good time without me.
I mean, it's always a good time.
I am sucking on a cough drop.
Yeah, that fucking cough drop better not make a guest appearance on the show.
Okay? The past 2 weeks, I've been sucking on cough drops and not on titties. When you're sick, you just don't want to fuck. Like, for me, when I'm sick, I'm like, because every time you try to, like, kiss me, I'm like, cough in your mouth.
I was like, your dick still works? Like, what? Why? You don't have to
I don't know.
Be, like, am I crazy? You don't have to be well to put it down. I don't think you have to
I just was like, I'm going to get all my germs in your pussy and
I don't have to kiss you to sleep with
your
you.
Mouth. That's true. But it's
your
more
dick
fun that
doesn't
way.
Have the flu, just you did. This is crazy.
Dick flu.
This already is unhinged. Here's the thing. So you went to the doctor and they told you, they said you know me and y'all love being sick. They told you you're not sick anymore, but you are going to have a cough for a couple of weeks.
No,
so does that
this
mean
woman, this woman
does that
said
mean
8 weeks.
I can't sleep with you because you can't because you might be coughing?
Yeah, it's just when I'm coughing, you're like humping.
That is disgusting, man. We have to.
Sorry, I pretend to cough, and then I did cough, but like humping, coughing, like. Also, this woman, when I went to the doctors, she was like, I'm going to give you what the rappers use. I was like, what is she talking about? Like, what
oh,
is
the doctor. Not,
yeah.
Oh, you know, typically,
when I went to the doctor.
Typically, we were saying this woman, you're talking about me. So
the
I was
woman.
Like, what?
Usually, this woman, the doctor. Because women can't be doctors, Amber.
No, they can be, but the context was unclear. Okay, so
all right,
you went
so
to the
I go
doctor.
To the doctor.
Yeah.
And the doctor comes in and she's like, yeah, I'm going to prescribe you some things. I'm going to prescribe you what the rappers use. I was like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, cough syrup. And I was like, something about that sounds racist to me. Like,
oh,
I was like, I don't think
like,
Kendrick Lamar does lean.
Like benzos and codeine.
Yeah,
and
like the cough syrup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got you. Yeah, she was trying. She was going for
she
a funny.
She was trying to be cool.
She was trying to be with it. It didn't
like,
land with you.
Tekashi 6ix9ine, maybe. But that's the only rapper I know raps about lean.
It's so funny because you go back and forth between being like down and funny and corny and so stuck up. You
what
know what
mean?
I mean? Like prudish. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Before we even
about
get
lean?
Into the show. No,
I
just
am
about,
prudish about
just
lean.
About tons of things, Ben. Okay, so we're gonna
what did I just say that made you think my prude?
We had a conversation earlier today about something where you were being a little bit prudish.
But what did I just say about that made you think I was
because you're like,
oh,
you think the rapper is like, that was a weird comment to make. But any other day, you'd be like making those comments too.
I'm not a racist Asian doctor prescribing cough syrup.
No, she was making a point of like
she was trying
rappers
to make a
do
joke.
Rap about stuff like that.
She was trying to make a joke, and
Percocet,
I was like, all right,
Molly Percocet, like they do rap about like medicine.
But to say like I'm going to prescribe to you what the rappers, like all collective rappers, do cough syrup, I thought was a little bit racist.
Yeah. I'm going to find a way to bring up later in the episode what we were talking about earlier today. Okay.
Okay, yeah, we can go there. Well, we can just talk about it now.
You want to talk about it now? Okay, wait.
I can be pretentious. That's what you're saying.
Not pretentious, but like sometimes you're down and with it, and sometimes you're like, oh, excuse me. But before, I want people to stay on and listen. So before we get into what we're talking about right now, what I do want to do is remind y'all. Yeah, we're going to be live in ATL, ho. We're going to be live in Atlanta.
Battle
on December.
In the Adel.
You're still trying to make that work. Just stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen. We're going to be live in Atlanta on December 20th at City Winery. Please be sure to buy your tickets to our live show. It's Fly on the Wallin, but, you know, it's the podcast on steroids, so it feels more like a variety show. So come, order some wings, order some wine, and enjoy a night of us, you know,
we are the loving cheapest City Winery show, really.
I
think we are one of the cheapest ones.
I'll cry about that later this week. But you make sure you go buy your tickets. Now, let's talk about this. Okay, so I'm just going to lay it all out there. So I feel like sometimes I have like a more kinkier side than Ben does. For example, I like sending Ben like nudes a little bit, like pictures of my titties. I won't put my face in it, but I liked the flirt of like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. Let me send you like a fun video of me showering or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Ben hates this. He's always like, what? You don't know where I am. I could be opening this in front of the parents.
You know what I'm most likely doing? I'm sitting in story time at the public library and I open up and there's Amber's titties and there's moms just all around me being like, what's that? I was like, oh, just my wife's, you know, goods. I don't like, how do you, what?
Yeah, but you my man. Like, I can't send you a picture of my booty.
You can. That's totally fine. It almost feels like a flasher. You know, you're just like going around your day.
I showed Ben a video of me.
Down and just flashes.
I showed Ben a video of me showering at the gym. And he was like, ugh. Like, this feels like a flasher. I'm like, yeah, but like, look at the suds. Like, I look good right here.
I didn't say that wasn't my response. I was like, I get that. But when I get texts like that without any precursor, without any foreplay.
I know, that's what makes it hot.
No, that's what makes me get written up at the library.
Why written up at written the up
at the my gym, at the little kids' gymnastics.
So
I'm like, I'm trying to record.
But you were like that before too, Ben. Like in the beginning, like when we first started dating, I feel like you've always been anti-nudes, because you said you had an ex-girlfriend that like took a picture of you without your permission or something.
That did happen once, and that wasn't very nice.
No.
But also, I read a lot of stories of kids killing themselves, and a lot of the moments of kids killing themselves has to do with like nudes circulating around the school.
But that's child pornography.
Right, and so I just always think about
this is amateur how people, porn. This is different.
How people send.
I just think it's funny that you pay $60 a month in porn subscriptions, but when I send you some titties for free, you're.
Well, I'm preparing myself when I go to the porn website, I know what I'm getting. When I open up my phone and I'm trying to look for my kid's calendar where I got to go for her next event, soccer practice, and I see some tits in my face, and I'm ordering at the local coffee shop, it's a little jarring. I like them, but like I don't want a hard on trying to get coffee. Is that too much to ask?
I see the dilemma now. Okay, so when am I allowed to send you nudes? Like,
just like let me know I'm gonna send you a nude.
That's so fucking. I don't like that. I like the spontaneity of it.
Respect my boundaries.
I have to. What say you, YouTube? I feel like you're the only man in America that's gonna be like, God, my wife's tits. Come on, give me a warning first. Jeez.
I need another Lassange. I have all these.
A Lassange.
A Lassange.
A French cough drop. A Ricola.
This whole past week, I've been coughing. I really understand why old people want to die. Always just have a cough. And they have like snot and the drainage.
Okay.
And I get it. You have drainage 24/7. I would fucking kill myself. I would die.
I don't want people to just turn this off now. So we're going to keep going. I really want to hear.
The elderly now more.
Mm-hmm. I really want to hear from y'all in the YouTube comments, and so much so to the point where I'm going to start picking out some YouTube comments that I'd love to see. Here's some. I know this was like two episodes ago, but here's some from the YouTube episode featuring Vinny. We got one from Eden Valdez 7596. Why do men always do the tasks that don't need to be done daily? Amber always makes me feel seen. You know, on that episode we were talking about, you know, this man, he's like, I mean, I mow the grass. Oh, I do my grass, part with the house. Yep. It's like, why do y'all always do that? So thank you, Eden Valdez. We got another one here from Jessica Higgins, 2047, says, this was such a fun episode. It was like talking with friends, which is the goal.
That's what we're going
That's
for.
Literally what a podcast should feel like. So hashtag goals. This last one's from Asha Mystique. This was a great watch right after the HR one as I put up furniture at 4 a.m. Laughing my ass off. Y'all got great chemistry. I was cracking the fuck up just as much as if Ben was there. You were missed, baby. And I really do think you would have enjoyed Vinny talking about his frozen mice in the fridge.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. How do you feel?
What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's brilliant. I've always said...
Buying mice in bulk is
brilliant. Just having different animals is cool. It's just for the
experience.
Like
frozen and unfrozen.
Yeah, but also if Wild wanted a snake, you have a snake, and then you feed the snake the mouse, and I think that would be a good...
If Wild wanted a what?
A snake... You get her a snake.
No.
Get a little, you know, aquarium, a reptiliarium, reptile. Anyway.
She's not getting a snake, baby.
If she wanted to, we can cross that bridge when we get there.
We're not getting there.
We can
We're not
cross
going that route. We're that not going bridge. That route.
Why are you against snakes? Women and snakes have always had a good relationship.
Who are you thinking about? Britney Spears?
I think just
Eve
in general,
in
Eve. Generally, women and snakes have been a good pairing.
Women snake pair was Britney Spears.
I think she's greater than Eve.
Sure. While I was not getting a snake, maybe we can table that until
More
we come back
too,
to Imperfect Parent. Mm. You want to hop into our first segment?
But I'm curious. Why? What do you have against snakes? Like,
I don't fuck with snakes. We're not homies. Because they bite. They're some of them are there to choke you.
Babies
they're
bite.
There to choke you out
humans
and make
you
suffocate.
Out.
I don't want to be around you. Humans that suffocate me. I don't like a
snake. But not all snakes
a
bite.
A snake's
though.
Main functionality is to like bite you and suffocate you so it can eat you.
That's not all snakes. There's certain kind of snakes.
Not
that's species.
Here we go.
Amber.
Not
You're
all
assuming
snakes. Not all that, snakes.
Yeah. If someone were like,
what
all,
is a snake's main
humans,
function?
All humans choke people out. Some humans choke people out.
What is a snake's main primary function, though?
It, like all living creatures, it's to reproduce. It's to hunt. It's to, find in the snakes or cold-blooded creatures to find warmth, to shed its skin, to grow and develop. You know,
and bite and constrict.
It eats food, yes. Like we.
It just doesn't appeal to me. Something that's just like slithering through its room. That's no good.
What
I don't
was your
want that
first?
For her.
Experience. What did a snake ever do to you? Has a snake ever hurt you?
Almost.
Really?
If I'm like on a walking path or whatever, it's coming into my space, even though like this path is like concreted and paved so that I can just go on a little hike.
Who created the concrete pave? Humans. We went through the snake's habitat.
I don't like humans either.
But
I do like humans.
You do like humans. I'm saying I'm
I bet
curious.
Snakes don't fuck with us either. They don't want to be bought. They want to be left the hell alone. So I'm just respecting what a snake wants.
Do you love your child Wild?
Yes, she can get other animals.
But if she was like, I'm going to be a snake charmer.
She can do that once she can verbalize that. But I'm not getting her no snake at age 7.
And like then we cross that bridge when we get there.
And then it slithers out and it goes around the house. I've seen every childhood movie of a kid with a snake. That snake does not stay in the box.
Yeah.
The rectangular box. Can we please get into the show?
Yeah.
You're not getting no snake. No, you're not going to like research and article me with that.
Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
The first segment of our show is called Hashtag Influenced.
It's time for the hashtag.
Hashtag Influenced.
Silence. This segment is where we talk about, you know, being creators on the internet. And yeah. So, Ben, we want to talk today about gatekeeping a little bit. Because sometimes we've seen when an influencer shouts out a spot that they've recently visited to, a very, very popular influencer. I'm not talking about us. We're like, you know, mid-tier babies. I'm talking about like Keith Lee.
Yeah, I hate that man.
We love Keith Lee.
Fuck you, Keith Lee. I'm just kidding.
We love Keith Lee. But Keith Lee recently reviewed one of our favorite burger spots
in
LA.
It's like the only place we could freaking walk to.
We were walking there to get burgers, and he recently reviewed it. And now what is typically the fallout?
Usually there's like lines around the block and such. But my thing with this, and oh, by the way, I do love Keith Lee. He's great. He's such like a kind person.
Very kind.
He's like, if I give a restaurant a bad review, mm-hmm. he always clarifies it. He tells people, don't go and bomb
give
their Yelp
hate,
review.
But people don't listen.
He's like, go try it yourself. You know what I mean? My thing is that he reviewed a restaurant that was already sort of popular, was making enough money. But then when influencers go and give more publicity, then it becomes more popular, then the locals can't access that anymore. So
We're doing fine with one less burger a week, but yes, continue.
It's so good, and it's
very
meat,
good.
Like his review actually is very good. It's called Burgers Never Say Die.
You're busting up our spot too.
I know I'm busting it up, and it comes with. He didn't even do the cheese sauce. That was bad. He didn't review the cheese sauce, but it's very nostalgic. It's like an old school, very flat, thin, old school
like
McDonald's.
A nacho cheese energy.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. So he reviews it, and now it gets more popular. So my thing is, should influencers not review like already popular restaurants? Sort of like.
I didn't know it was that popular before.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's always been a popular spot. And Quarter Sheets, too. I hope he doesn't go to Quarter Sheets. If Keith Lee goes to Quarter Sheets.
Every week you sit down and shout it out. Again, we don't have the.
I don't have the
influence
following
and
Keith
the power
Lee.
That Keith. But you know, this podcast can pop off at some point. For real. And then they're going to go back and be like, oh, Ben said it, whatever. But you know what? I actually did this with my nail tech at one point. Like, every time I go visit her.
Funny.
I also love my nail tech. Her name is Rose. We are now also, like, gym buddies. We go out and drink together sometimes. She's a really great person. And early on, I was like, this girl is super talented. So I was shouting her out. And then one time, I couldn't get on her books. I was like, yo, like, nothing's open. She's like, girl, like, you keep tagging me and people keep coming over here. And I was like, God damn it. My sister was like, you should have gatekept this information. So,
oh, I see what you mean by gatekeep.
Yeah, that kind of, like a comically gatekeep. Not like, you know, restricting access from like jobs and very, very important things. But you know how like the internet will laugh about like, you better gatekeep girl boss and gaslight.
Yeah.
You heard that?
I've never heard that.
I figure.
I was like, one girl.
Girl boss, like we're going to girl boss our way through life. Like, it's kind of like a little bit of delusion. Like, hey, girly pop, have you thought about, like, selling essential oils? Like, that's like girl pop. It's like a pyramid scheme.
I am not on that internet enough.
Right.
Oh, God. Those kinds of people sound so annoying.
They're predatorial, but they use, like, the lingo of, like, hey, bestie, ever thought about being your own boss?
Oh, it's like a pyramid type of thing.
Right.
Creating pyramid schemes.
Right.
Trying to sell their free course. It's like the first course free and then for a small fee of $30,000.
Yeah. And then you can work from home. Mm-hmm. You can be that mompreneur you've always
it's
wanted
so
to be.
It's so easy to be rich.
Girl boss. Yeah, you're a girl boss.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's it. So there's like dialogue about like, we're going to gatekeep girl boss and gaslight our way through life or whatever.
Oh, so it's I was making using, fun of those kinds of people.
Yes, it was using gatekeeping like the comical sense. Yeah. I hate when I have to do this with you.
But explain
break down
basic
like a third
internet.
Tier internet meme. You know how that's like explaining a meme to a parent and you're like, okay, this is
it's
funny.
Like learning a different language.
Yeah,
you're a translator.
I have to do that for Ben all the time because typically it'll be something cultural and then it'll be something like reality TV zeitgeist with another joke about that one Soulja Boy Breakfast Club interview. It'll It'll be like
under a soundbite referencing a different Survivor reality TV show.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, so this is funny because when New York was left Flavor Flav, she said this, and then that's funny because, and then by the time I've explained it to you that many times, it's just like, at what point do I need to just give up?
And she's like, why are you writing it all down? And I'm like, God, I'm going to forget it.
I remember one time you trying to explain something to me that was like a, it was like a Star Wars, like, it was like a Han's shot first.
Oh, yeah.
But then it was like three other things. You were like, okay, this is funny because like Hoth is this thing. And I was like, maybe I just missed it.
Yeah, that's okay. We miss things. Okay. It's okay. But I also like to learn and understand everything. See, I don't want anything gatekept from you. I want to learn everything.
But then you want to gatekeep from others.
Yeah. Well, also, I also don't like when things like Burgers Never Say Die get even more popular than they should
be. But you're a part of the problem.
I want to be the one that releases the information to the world.
Oh, you want attention. Yeah. Got it.
I'm the one that wants attention.
That makes sense. Oh, speaking of, so we're going to pivot for a second because Ben actually showed me this really interesting video the other day. Tell me how this video came on your page and then I'll play the video.
Internet
world.
I watched things on about relationships and I saw this video pop up about relationships because I've been really interested in learning more about Amber and I as a relationship. Because a lot of people, you know what they do? Amber's looking at me like, really? That's news to me.
You want to learn about our relationship or relationships in general?
Our relationship, like making our relationship better. Because I think we're at this point where we're married. We're, for the most part, happily married.
Can't even send a goddamn picture of my titties without pushback.
We have but then we can talk about it. And I can be honest with you. And without being like, I like the titties. I just don't like the package it came in, which was through, 10100 coding through the phone. Anyway, so I want our relationship to be better. So I'm learning and reading different kinds of books. And so I was researching books and I found a book called Fed Up that was being reviewed by this guy who does life coaching. And I started watching a bunch of his videos and he talked about this concept that we're going to discuss.
Okay. So this concept is called decision fatigue.
Decision fatigue. Maybe I forgot what it was.
Should I play the video first?
Yeah. Okay. Play the video.
An example where I added extra mental load for my wife. Blueberry muffins edition. So earlier, Alyssa made blueberry muffins, as our little one calls them.
Fluffins.
As she asked to be picked up and pointed to them saying fluffins, we know what that means, she wants some. I picked her up, put her in her high chair, as I was getting ready to feed the muffin to our toddler. Knee-jerk reaction, I yell over to Alyssa. Hey Alyssa, do you think that these muffins are too hot to feed to her? They just came out of the oven, Zach, of course they are. Immediately upon those words exiting my lips, I knew that was a stupid question to ask. I was there. I heard the timer. I saw them come out of the oven. I could see them steaming. In retrospect, I'm looking at the question I was asking. Can I just give her the whole muffin or do I need to cut it up and let it steam out? The fact is, if I had taken an extra 30 seconds to inspect the muffins, pull them out, feel it with my fingers, I would have known and taste a little bit of it to know whether it was too hot or not. For many of you know me, I talk about these tiny little examples all the time. For people that don't appreciate why these small examples matter, I don't know what she was doing in the other room, but if she's doing anything that requires a little bit of thought, she has to switch directions with her brain, answer the question, and come back to it. Multiply that by 1 or 5 or 10 or 100 things a day, that's called decision fatigue. If you'd like to understand this better or you need help talking about this with your partner, get the Mental Load 101 free download in my store.
You better sell it at the end. Okay, so we are learning on the internet about something called decision fatigue.
Yes.
This struck you because
I do this to you all the time.
Yes, you do.
All the time. I'll be like,
you don't look for shit.
Help me find my keys. Or I'll be like, hey, can you grab this thing where I'm doing this or that kind of thing. Honestly, we both do it. Let's be real.
Yeah. Oh, I've definitely done it.
I definitely.
But you remember, oh my God, I remember this, Ben. When we first started dating, and I would say also like when we first moved in together. So maybe like year 2 or 3.
That's all a blur.
All a blur. Year 2 or 3, for context, we've been together about 8 going on 9 years. Ben just moved in with me. And even though he had unpacked his boxes and everything, he would ask me for the thing first, no matter what. And I ask Ben for things as a last resort. Mm-hmm. So if I needed some if I needed to find some sort of document that we needed to file taxes or something, I'm asking Ben because I have literally looked in the filing cabinet. I've looked through my email. I've looked through the Google files. I've even like looked at past emails with the person who prepares our taxes. And now I, after looking all of those places, I finally ask Ben, like, do you know where this thing is? And, you know, of course, Ben will be like, look here. I was like, you should assume that I've done all of those things if I'm asking you. Whereas you're not like that. You'll be like, oh, Amber's right over there. Let me just ask her for it. And I'm like, did you look for it? It was like, well, no, but, you know, you might know where it is. I'm like, I don't know where it is, Ben, because I'm working on this, like, editing thing. Like, why don't you go look for it? You're like, well, where should I start looking for it? I'm like, I don't want to have to make a decision right now, like, about something that I'm not looking for.
Right. Yeah, that's, I think that's a related issue for sure. Of
that's like the same thing. It's like you have like, don't be helpless. Like, you have the wherewithal to go look for it on your own.
I think one is like you have an intense insecurity about asking people for help in general. Because for you, help asking for help is like a code for weakness.
I don't mind asking people for help.
I disagree.
No. Let me clarify. I like to ask people for help on things that I know I don't either have the capacity or access to myself.
It's like a last resort.
It is a last resort. I do not have the contacts that this person has, so now I need to ask for help. But I'm not going to ask her for help on something I can like easily do myself.
Right, yeah.
You like
little
like
tasks and things like that. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I've always been of the opinion that I'm going to ask someone's opinion for anything, whether it's helping me to find something menial like my keys or helping me solve a big old problem, because I think like more brain power, the better. What this video taught me is that when I do with the menial things, like where my keys are, instead of just putting them back always, or even the this is sort of like asking for help. He's not really asking for help. He's just interrupting. And when he could have just done the thing on his own.
Yes.
Where sometimes I'm just disorganized. In this case, like, I need to learn that when I ask you to help me with something that I could easily do on my own, I'm interrupting your task. And that sort of prevents you from getting things done. So what I've started to do, because when I don't want to be interrupted, I'll be like, yo, I'm going to go write, or I'm going to go read, or I'm going to do this thing. Please do not interrupt me. If you need help with something, just write it down and come to me later. Because the worst thing that can happen, I've discovered for me, and now I know why, is that I'll be doing something, cooking, and I hear Amber calling down, can you bring up this water? Can you do this? So now I have to be like, okay, where's her water bottle? How much, you know, did she say water or did she say tea? And so now I'm disrupted from cooking because you went and asked me. So that decision fatigue is definitely something that I discovered that I do for you. And sometimes when you're irritable, it's because you've had to stop what you're doing, go and do stuff. I think that's different than asking someone for help. You know,
I think in a sense he was asking for help, but he didn't need the help.
Right. He didn't need the help.
So I think what we experience a lot of is, or I experience a lot from you, is asking for the help when you don't need the help. You're kind of just being lazy.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you can't find your wallet that I never touch, I never have anything to do with your wallet, that stuff infuriates me.
He's talking about like, taking more responsibility too.
Right.
Like,
he's like, why don't I just like, instead of being lazy, why don't I just like cut the muffin, assess it, and then go from there.
You know what he also talks about? When someone's doing something and you think you're being helpful, you'd be like, what do you want for dinner tonight, right?
Right.
That question can make me go insane when someone asks me that question, especially if I'm doing something, because now I have to stop and think, what do I want for dinner? Where you could, he suggests.
This reminds me of that time I almost cussed your mama out.
Yeah.
When
she was
taking care of me. Ben's mother is... I cannot say enough incredible things about my mother-in-law, but when she came to take care of me when I was postpartum, again, I'm such a brat, It got to a point where she was asking me so many questions.
Just make a decision.
She was like, Amber, like, I really want to make sure you have a good dinner tonight. You know, you just had a baby. I'm like, oh, thank you. So, you know, I'm like,
yeah, like tired.
I'm seated. I'm bleeding. She's like, what do you want for dinner tonight? I was like, oh, whatever you make is totally fine. She's like, so maybe like a beef or like a ham. I'm like, yeah, just, you got it.
Yeah, whatever.
It's like, well, would you like which green bean or which like a green bean versus I was like maybe like a peas and carrots. I was like, no, just literally whatever you make. And she was like, okay, well, I mean, walking through each fucking food group. And I was, and at one
point. She went through the whole pyramid.
The whole fucking pyramid. And I looked at her mom, and I was like, you've had four fucking kids. Like, I think you can make dinner.
Yeah.
I was like, Miss Judy, if you ask me one more question about this dinner. She's like, hurt.
That's decision fatigue.
Yeah,
that's
a verb. Yes.
So, and you think you're being helpful. So when I come to Amber and I'll say, okay, what do you want for dinner? That question's not as helpful as saying something like, what would you like for dinner? I'm going to do roasted potatoes and beef, or I'm going to do lasagna. And now you have a choice and you don't have to think. Or being like, I'm going to make roasted beef and potatoes. Does that sound good to you? Now you can just say yes or no. And then you, if you want to think like, no, I'm really into Chinese, like, got it. Right. And then you can go ahead and move from there. So he talks about like being helpful at times when you're not being direct and to the point.
Yeah.
Can actually be disruptive and cause more decision fatigue.
Right. I think also like this is the reason, right? This is the reason why I love going to a restaurant that does five things. Because all throughout the day I am making decisions about like which font looks the best? Which sound looks the best? Should I be doing three clips a week for the podcast or four? Which guests should I put on this month?
Fuck that. So, I like it. It's the set menus. I'll do you even better.
A set menu.
You don't have to make any decision. They give you one option.
A set menu. Or even I've told you this in the past. This right here.
You just, need set menu
this
money,
is just
though.
A major unlock for right. This is a major unlock for me because I think in the past, I would tell you all the time, I was like, I love when we go to a restaurant, you order for me. Like, it just turns me on. But what's really happening is I don't have to make a decision.
Yeah, because you've been making decisions all day.
And it's attractive to me that somebody is like, you're probably like out of gas. Let me choose the restaurant. Let me choose what you're eating. Let me just take care of you for the night. And that's why sometimes I love going home to my mama's house because there's something about being home. My mom is kind of like a steamroller, which actually benefits me when I go home sometimes. Like she does not ask you what you want for dinner. She's making dinner. It's at 7 p.m. You can have some or not. Now, sometimes it's like another night of fish sticks. Here we go. But it's like,
it's consistent.
It's
consistent, and you don't have to worry about that decision. You can spend your mind energy reading a book. You can spend your energy solving problems. You can use your energy being girl boss, gatekeeping, yay! Selling your 100K dream to people on the internet.
And this fucking guy, also from the influencer perspective, he's doing a great job selling himself as a life coach.
Yeah.
Selling his sessions because that video went super viral. So I'm sure he got some people to sign up for his one-on-one coaching, whatever. But like, when a creator does a good job of showing me the thing that you do in real time and then sell it to me, chef's kiss. Hopefully he made some good money because, I mean, that was just a textbook example. You ready to move to the next segment?
Yeah, next segment.
The next segment of our show is called Imperfect Parent.
Imperfect Parent.
This segment is where we talk about what's going on in our little baby's world. For those of you who do not know, we have currently a 19-month-old child. She'll be 2 in April of 2024, whenever you're listening to this. But yeah. Let's talk about Wild. That's her name.
Yeah. What's going on with her?
She's been putting us through the
ringer. What's that face, Amber?
She's been teething, and this isn't the front teeth. You know, front teeth are just for show.
Yeah.
Those back teeth are actually like...
Those are pushing through.
The back teeth are the worker bees, okay? The unsung heroes of the mouth.
Pushing up through the gums, like crawling out.
Exactly.
Bloody.
And as Vinny and I laughed about, the wisdom teeth are just like... No one invited you to this party. Why are you coming in and moving everyone to the side?
I wasn't there for that, so I don't know what you're referencing.
Oh, you don't listen to the show when you're not
on?
No,
I did. I did.
Interesting. But yeah, so she's got some teeth that are like clawing their way to the surface. And as a result, she is clawing her way through our faces.
She bit my nipple.
Literally. She's been grabbing, biting. She's been slapping. And it, we've been doing a lot of like, I'm petrified. A lot of, okay, here's a strategy that I've been using that I feel like I saw on Big Little Feelings, okay, which is another, you know, Instagram that I follow about how to curtail some of this behavior. So whenever she is sitting in my lap and making the choice to slap me, besides the obvious is like, no, you do not hit mommy, and making her say sorry. If she slaps me more than once, she's not sitting in my lap anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, you do not get to sit in mommy's lap. That's if you're going to continue, if you're going to continue this. And that, you know, she loves mommy's lap. Mommy's lap is like,
I love Burger mommy's King lap.
Not in video form though.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
We're learning. We're learning these things about each other. But I think that's one thing I've been using. But I mean, Ben and I the other day, you know, we're team conscious parenting, hashtag gentle parenting over here. So the other day I was like, Ben, I think it's timeout season. I think it's like, because we've created like a little room for her. So yeah. I was like, I think it's tis the season of like, you got 1 minute in this room.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course she's like banging on the door, like doing the most.
Locking her in her room.
I wasn't locking. I just like closed it and said like, I'm outside of the room. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know what's going to work.
So the big thing for the kids this age is finding replacement behaviors. So if a kid is biting you, you have to be like, okay, you want something to bite. And then I've been giving her these little bite, like ball chewy things that she can bite. So it's like, okay, if you're biting, here's something cold that you can bite on. If you're hitting me, it's like, okay, you can give me a high five. So you say hit for a high five, and then gentle. And then I take her hand, I rub her hand on my face. Like, then we're gentle on the face. So replacements,
hair pulling,
replacement behaviors. Yeah. And if you want something to pull, like here's a toy. You can like pull your doll. You can pull this.
Yeah. But
and so it's finding that replacement behaviors. Yeah. And if you want to throw, you give them a ball. So like showing the appropriate time, because when you say no, you're just teaching like negative. Right. And kids
don't understand some negative in there.
Yeah, but there's a little negative. They don't have the developmental capacity to understand of like, okay, no, now what? You know?
I got you.
So what you have to do is you're training them. You teach them the replacement behavior. So that's what we've been trying to do.
I know,
but I don't know if timeouts are even appropriate for her age. I would like, I think I've always
I need the timeout.
Yeah, maybe you need the timeout.
I
need the timeout
because I just can't deal with like a long day of like computer fatigue, and then I'm like, oh, I just want to hold my child, and then she's just like kicking my
shit
ass.
Yeah,
like
you.
I, like it's very hard for me in those moments to, like, want to find a replacement behavior. I just need to put her down.
Sobbing this week, I felt so bad. I was like, yeah. she's just don't take it personally.
Well, she's also just not been sleeping, like, yeah. So that kept us. Like, remember that one night I was like,
we were going back.
We have
and
not
forth.
Experienced a night like this since she was in. Like a literal baby.
This
like
little ninja can jump out of her bed.
She can
like
get out
her,
of the bed.
Her crib. So we had to get rid of the crib because she was falling down off her crib. We had it the lowest setting. So either I build like a huge gate that traps her in. So we moved her to a bed, but now she can get out of her bed and then she opens up the door.
Yeah,
she can open
very
up her
clever.
Door.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's been challenging for sure. Yeah. So last night, she got out of her bed, I think, three times, and both times I walked her back to her bed. I said, okay, get back in your bed. She went to bed, slept for an hour, came back in, had to be all right, you got to walk back to your bed, get back in your bed.
Do you know what you eventually did?
Oh, I think I just put her in our bed and went and slept in her bed.
Yes, so I woke up in the bed next to her. Meanwhile, you're getting a full night of shut-eye.
I was so fed up. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, why can't she can do a 1 minute timeout? You told me the other day you were like,
I think
we can
like
do a timeout
age,
at the age that they are.
I
so
think,
they're a three minute timeout.
I'm not sure exactly. I need to look this up. I have a lot of great books. There's a book I was reading called The Science of Mom, which is really good. And then also Crib Sheets is very good as well.
Yeah.
For those toddler ages. I need to go and reread those and look at the data of when it's appropriate to start using timeout. And again, it all depends on the child.
Right.
But we've been definitely going through replacement behaviors, making sense that like consequences meet, like if she's hitting you, like
or
put her down.
Others.
If she's hitting you or putting others, then you're like remove her from the situation. Like say you can't do that, but you can do this over here. Like
right.
You can't be in my lap, but I can put you on the side next to me. And I think that's totally fine, totally appropriate. And, you know, she might get upset here and there. But it's been really helpful for me, replacement. And it works for humans as well. Like, I want to stop drinking coffee. That's a behavior that was just causing me so much anxiety. So I needed something to replace that. I've been drinking tea like I'm English, like I'm a British man in the 1830s. And so that's my replacement behavior. It works all the time. So instead of just thinking of the negative, like I'm going to stop doing this thing, be like, I'm going to stop, but I'm going to do this thing instead. And that's been very, very helpful for me in my life. So
I just think you and I need to decide on all of the replacement behaviors, because sometimes, like, you're just in a situation. Like, if I'm at the grocery store and you're slapping me in the face, like, I'm not near your toy chest. I'm not near a place where you can just, like, of course I can get creative about, like, let me see what's in my purse. Mm. But, like, it's hard. Like, do you remember
well,
the
other
day?
That's good parenting, though. That's good parenting is planning out, like, hey, if she does these types of behaviors in different settings, what am I going to do when she does it? If she slaps me in the store, all right, so I stop, pull her aside. All right, we're gentle in the store. Give her this. Or I have something and I bring something with me. All right, you're hitting me. We're not going to do hitting, but you can play with this sort of fidget toy or something. So you find, you make, you start to predict behaviors instead of just going with the flow, like being like, oh, you know, I don't know, like I'm going with her to the store. So you know that she does these things, you're going to the store, plan for it.
Yeah, I'm down to do that. I just feel like
it's work.
It's work, and it feels like this is temporary, because she's definitely not always been like this.
It's not temporary. People think this is temporary, but this is how kids grow up to be hitters, is that they were never given replacement behaviors when these behaviors first started coming up. Yeah. Like, that's the whole point of parenting, like especially at this age. Kids develop habits now that they use when they're in kindergarten, right? Yeah. Why do some kids hit more in kindergarten? No, because their parents never addressed it when they were 1.5 years old. So I think we think this is going to – that's the most dangerous idea, by the way, I think, as a parent, to think that, oh, they'll just grow out of this behavior. Kids don't just grow out of behavior, right? They learn behavior. Kids are so, masterminds at learning.
If we do this long enough, she will eventually stop. If we do replacements long enough, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I was also, but we have to be disciplined about it, which we are.
Yeah, I'm committed to doing this, obviously, like whatever Wild needs, and I don't like being hit in the fucking face after a long day at work.
Didn't make a funny TikTok video. Amber made a hilarious video of you trying to put her to sleep, and she put actually makeup on to show that you had a black
eye. I was like, this is,
But actually, that came from a true place of pain and suffering.
I was like, okay, you made this funny, now make it funny. Yeah, that's literally the story of our life.
You were actually like upset.
Truth and comedy has been the story of our lives. I actually saw this really great TikTok the other day. I follow this. He's a black male therapist. It's like the numbers and the letters of his name. I don't know how they're correctly pronounced, but I will. Yeah,
that's all right. Go on.
But he was basically, he made this video that was essentially talking about like how bad parenting will eventually affect kids' relationships with their siblings. Like if you've ever grown up and like you don't get along with any of your siblings and your parents always like, I don't know what's wrong with your sister. I don't know what's wrong with your whatever. Like how those, like when you were just talking about how like the lack of replacement behaviors lead to, you know, growing up and not being good at replacement behaviors or substitutions and things like that. So it was just a really interesting like take about like how sibling dynamics are also affected by.
I mean, it makes sense. Bad leadership just seeps down.
Yes.
And it's funny because people think, oh, my sister is this or my brother is that. It's like, well, whose fault is
it that
they didn't bring the two of you together and repair the harm?
Right? Or if your parents one parent are the is only talking ones. Shit about your sibling to you and then goes to the other sibling and talks shit about you, like you're eventually going to hate your sister or your brother or your whoever.
But it's sort of even teachers. We know that if two kids are fighting in a classroom, who gets blamed for that? Well, it's usually the teacher. The teacher didn't see that coming. They didn't deal with the issue in the classroom. They didn't sit them down, bring the parents in, try to have those kids talk to each other. So if two kids are constantly fighting, well, that's the parents' responsibility to bring those kids together. Maybe, you know, have them do something, sign them both up for a sport or take them both to the zoo or do something with them to foster that relationship.
Or it's about how like parents do sometimes like using other children as scapegoats.
That's also fascinating, the idea of pinning one kid against the other.
Yeah, just so you can, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you're beefing with one kid, and then you bitch about that other kid to your other kid.
Yeah, or if you call one kid your favorite, and then your other, you're like,
Well, that's obviously going to cause dissensions among the ranks.
Correct. So just thinking about, I know we only have the one child, but I remember thinking about, like, I remember watching that and thinking, like, wow, bad parenting can affect multiple parties. Like,
it affects the whole relationship.
Yes, it doesn't just affect, like, child to parent. Uh-huh. It affects child to dad, child to teacher.
Great reason not to have two kids. I'm kidding. I watch Bluey, the more I want two kids. I was telling you this.
Bluey.
Because Bluey and Bingo have just this really beautiful dynamic. I've been starting to play some of the Bluey games with Wild, and she loves it. Like, follow the leader. That was from a Bluey episode. You saw Wild. Me and her were doing follow the leader. Yeah, and Wild was like, follow the leader. Follow. She speaks.
Bro, Bluey is like, they got the writer's room down.
Yeah.
Like, so 8 minute good.
Episodes of just pure sobbing.
Yes.
Have you watched Sleepy Time yet?
I haven't.
Oh, you gotta watch Sleepy Time. Sleepy Time is my favorite episode. Yeah.
There's
it's like
such
cosmic
good.
And it deals with dreams and imagination.
Maybe
and
I have.
Developing.
Does it have different animation in it?
No.
Okay, there's one Bluey episode that has like different kinds of animation in it.
Bingo's trying to stay in her bed for the whole night on her own for the first time.
Oh, okay. Don't spoil. Yeah, it's only 8 minute episodes. Good. Yes, y'all, as we love Miss Rachel, but Bluey is like, Bluey is becoming. Like
I would actually do a
two.
Whole podcast where we just break down all the parenting lessons inside Bluey episodes.
That Bluey, or the one where Chili's sister Brandy comes to visit. Chili's the mother. And you're like, oh my God, this is a really deep theme right here. Like, so good. I don't want to spoil it, but so good.
Or the Mother's Day episode where they reference Chili's miscarriage.
Yes. I was like,
this is a kid's show.
And
they're dealing with
epic.
The trauma of miscarriage. And
yes.
Woo.
Yeah, but it's not good. So heavy handed.
It's not. And if you might miss it if you don't watch closely enough. Bingo and Bluey is just in fabulous dynamics between these two kids. They're not going to grow up hating each other.
Oh,
sure.
They love each other. They have each other's backs no matter what.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love my siblings dearly. Hello, Alicia. I know you listen to the show. I love you. I hope you have a great day at work. Anyway, you want to move on to the next segment?
Mm-hmm.
The next segment of our show is called I Do's and Don'ts of...
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. You probably know me from TV, or maybe you read my best-selling book and tried one of my amazing cocktails, or maybe you saw me on Broadway. What I can say is following dreams is kind of my thing. But of all the things I'm lucky enough to get to do, the thing that I get asked about the most are my shoes. What's my secret? DSW. DSW is the best place to get all the shoes you need from brands you love. Trust me, I'm obsessed. In fact, I love DSW so much, I've teamed up with them to create a collection of shoes from must-have sandals to super cool sneakers that are guaranteed to get compliments. Because if I've learned anything, it's that if you've got big dreams to follow, you're gonna need some really great shoes. Find the shoes of your dreams when you shop my new collection now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Relationships.
I do. Sorry.
You're fine.
Coughing.
Anyway, we have some exciting things happening in the world of I do's and don'ts of relationships. Now, instead of you submitting, we have letters right now that we're going to finish out and read, but we want y'all to flood our new hotline.
We have a hotline
that we want you to call from now on because we want to hear your voices. Y'all hear our voices nonstop all the time, and a podcast should feel like a conversation amongst friends. And now we can actually hear y'all's voices. So we want you to call 1-833-FOTW-311. And then you will leave your voicemail. Sometimes we might like distort your voice. Just let us know if you would like that. But please call that number, leave a voicemail, and tell us about your romantic relationship problem, your friend, your familial, whatever it is. Make sure y'all call us.
We just want to hear your problems, and then we want to solve them.
That part. Or we want to tell you what we would do instead. Okay, we got one fun letter and then one a little bit more serious. Okay, this one, short and sweet. Dear Fly on the Wallin, this is a question for your podcast, but not relationship advice. I watch these couples go on Tattoo Far,
choose secret tattoos for each other. Some are sweet, some are funny, some are very shady. Some are all three. What tattoos would you secretly choose for each other? Have you seen the show before, babes?
I think I've seen like clips on it.
Yeah,
or like on Facebook. You've shown me a clip about it or something.
Yes, it's typically like frenemies go on the show and then they'll tattoo like
something terrible. I remember
like
some
a dog collar. It's like that's because you a bitch.
Yeah, I remember you showing me that maybe early on in our relationship. But I would not put a dog collar on you. I would do something super sweet. I would probably get like a really beautiful picture of your grandma who passed away, and I would have that put on you. Yeah.
Wow, that is very sweet. I do not want an elder face on my body.
It just like maybe the dates she lived.
That's cute. That's maybe, really
I don't
sweet.
Know. Maybe just
but then what happens if another grandparent passes? This is going to have to
get all the grandparents. Yes. Actually, by the end,
it's
going to
look like a full, like a record, a date book of every lost elder on my back.
A church Bible.
Yeah, literally like, you
the
know,
family
the
Bible.
The family
yeah.
Bible that has like the family tree. Just like this, you know, this is my great, great.
I know you liked your grandma. I remember.
Yes, I definitely
you liked
her.
Your grandma. And I remember you feeling a little sad that Wilde never got to meet her.
Yes.
Yeah. And I remember, oh, if we had kids sooner, I was like, okay, that's a weird reason to have kids sooner. But people do think that way.
Fuck yeah, they think that way. People get married early and have kids early just so a grandparent.
Absolutely. And I get that. But you were satisfied that she got to come to our wedding. And we actually have her little signature.
Yeah.
And
I look at it every day.
Yeah.
In that downstairs bathroom.
When you're taking a private shit.
Or a pee. You know, it's so funny because...
Oh, because actually when I stand when I pee, so my back faces it, but you pee sitting down, so it makes sense. I was like, wait, how could she see it when she's peeing? And I realized that most women pee sitting down. Yeah, it makes sense now.
Got you. It.
Yeah. Had to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm. That's hilarious. I think also I remember saying something like that out loud and then thinking to myself, like all Ben's grandparents are dead. So I feel so shitty because like you really didn't even meet most of your grandparents, right? Like of the four.
Half.
I met two and then I was
5-0. I guess 50-50.
Okay. 50-50. I was like, wait, there was a 50 grandparent.
No, sorry, I was batting 500 as far as dead grandparents goes.
So when did your last grandparent pass?
Like 2006.
Got it.
They passed sort of close to each other. It was like 2006 and 2004 or something.
So my paternal grandfather passed first, but I still knew him for many years. I knew
him.
My great grandfather, like when I was a kid. Yeah, like my grandpa's dad.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely knew him. Or my grandpa's. No, you ready to be gagged? I think I'm pretty sure I've met my grandpa's grandpa. Like when I was a kid. But you got to think about people were having kids when they were 18.
Yeah, 18. Yeah.
18, 15, 12. Shit. Yeah. It's just horrible things. But.
Not healthy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I have to answer the question about what I would tattoo on you. I think if I'm being completely honest with myself, I would probably not do something sweet. I would probably do something that was like a little bit of a joke.
Okay.
I feel like you like fart a lot. So maybe like I would put some little like fart cloud puffs like going out the back of your drawers. You know what I'm saying?
Like on my butt?
Yeah. Like, okay. You know, like when you wear boxers or whatever.
No, I get the image. You don't have to explain
it. And then
it.
I would probably put some like little farts, like some little three-dimensional stinky farts. Or you remember
coming
like
out of my anus.
Yeah. You remember how like Pigpen was depicted on Charlie Brown? It'd be like that energy.
I've been farting less because I've been drinking less coffee.
I know, but it just would be funny. Like if I'm thinking about something that would just be like funny.
So you
us.
Associate me with farts. Like that's.
Yeah. Or I would do them like up the back, like out the top of the thing.
That's adorable.
Thank you. Your farts definitely have gotten better.
I remember during Obama's farewell speech in 2016, we were watching at a friend's house, and I farted. Yeah.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yes.
He was doing it in Chicago. We were all in Chicago. I farted so bad because they had some nachos. It was like sort of a whole, we had like a party. and I just ate something rancid. It was at our friend place where she had that really hot guy who would always like get undressed naked. He was like her neighbor.
Naked Chef. Yes. Naked Chef. I do remember that. Here's the thing, Ben. Everybody farts, right? But you will know you have a fart coming and remain seated.
Like, I think I'm trapping it almost, in.
No, you're not. You are never trapping the fart in. So
I'll never stop trying.
I have some gnarly farts too, but I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to step outside for a call. You know, like I can play it off.
I remember.
You don't do that.
At that moment, at Obama's farewell speech, I actually farted in the bathroom and I carried it outside with me. I farted in the back. And I remember going.
I'm gagged that you remember a fart from 2016.
It was so bad.
And so why would you wonder why I would do something like this on the tattoo front?
I mean, there's other great things about me.
Would you like me to?
I don't know. You're good.
Maybe
you're
like, good. Okay, you know how like the thinking man? I would do that. But it would be like a self-portrait of you like on the toilet reading. Mm-hmm.
We actually saw one of the originals, one of the casts.
Is it a Rodin?
The Rodin.
Rodin.
I mean, he made it a cast. There's like 100 of them, but.
I'm saying, I think I would make you be the thinking man and you would be reading a book and then you would definitely be on the toilet and the toilet paper roll would be out.
That's cute. Yeah, I do read. It's so funny. I actually had an ex who was like, when I get a house, I'll make sure I have a bookshelf in there for you when you come and visit.
First off, what a keeper. How did you fuck that up?
Oh, she met like a inspirational speaker or something.
Oh.
She went to get her PhD and
guess now she had to put a
micro. I was also, but you know, I was such a good boyfriend. I was fabulous. I was. I called her about once every other week when she was alone by herself working on her PhD. I remember her calling me crying one time being like, we need to communicate more. And I think I laughed at her and I was like, she should have broke up with me.
Yeah.
It was a piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, especially when you feel like you've been doing a good job on something and then you're called out on your shit and you like laugh or scoff.
I'm just like,
you remember
what?
Yesterday when you scoffed at something that really hurt me I lost my fucking shit.
I mean, you were being obnoxious to me and then I tried to give it back to you, but I forget. I could take it, but Amber can't. Yeah.
Well, everybody who watches you knows, like, you don't dish it back on the even playing field.
I go straight to hell.
You go straight to fucking hell. So you'll, and you're also inaccurate. Like, you'll critique something.
Being obnoxious. I'm being sarcastic.
You're being obnoxious. So basically, long story very, very short, like, Ben was critiquing something that I wrote. He was critiquing some of my comedic writing, and he was basically implying in his body language in his speech, like, I mean, you're not that funny. And I was just like,
I meant to be like, you're writing too much.
How much work I put into this. I wrote this and it was like, I really feel like this is good. And you were like, I mean, dude, is it?
I was like, I don't know if you need all of it. Yeah,
it wasn't that cute.
I meant it to be cuter.
You meant it to be mean. Just be honest.
Yes, I was getting a lot of, like, I was asking you questions and you were implying that my questions were dumb.
Well, now that you've watched Decision Fatigue, you know your questions were dumb.
And then I felt slighted, so I was like, all right, well, I mean, your writing's not clear.
Your writing's not that good. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't understand it, so.
Right.
It wasn't
And
nice.
How did that pay off for you?
It was not good.
I shouldn't be out either.
Yeah, you were very hurt. Rightfully so. But I need to figure out how to be kinder sometimes.
Same.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you went to hell, I went. Right?
You went out on the other side of the earth.
Anyway, let's give advice on another letter.
Another letter. Boom.
Our relationship's a mess, and y'all's are too. All right. Here I go for real. We are just like a hot mess in the throat department. Dear Fly on the Wildin, I have a question regarding my relationship. My partner constantly retweets women's photos on Twitter. And I've mentioned to him how it bothers me, and he doesn't understand why it does. My question is, am I overreacting to him retweeting females' pictures constantly? He speaks of me on his page here and there, but he also doesn't post me as much on there because he thinks people will bookmark the pictures. It's hard for me to understand the difference between
if he could, if you can do it on Instagram and Facebook and so forth, why can't you do it on Twitter? Maybe it's a form of insecurity on my behalf, but I'm trying to make sure I'm not crazy in how I feel low-key disrespected. Subtext, I have a Twitter burner account that he doesn't know about. And that's how he still does it. I don't understand that.
All right. I don't need to read more about this. I don't need to read more. I'm so sorry for this person.
I was going to make one to be petty to see if he would still do it if I had one. Oh, okay. Let's run this back. So basically, also this person says, P.S. I'm a big fan of y'all. The podcast brightens my day as I go through BS at work. Okay. I think what this person is saying is like, I made a burner account that he doesn't know of. And that's how I know he still does it. So apparently like he's doing some shady stuff on Twitter. He's showing her off on Instagram and Facebook, but on Twitter, he's posting her every now and then, but he's retweeting a lot of other girls' photos.
It sounds like this whole relationship, I'm so sorry that you're in this kind of relationship because I've been in these relationships before. It's like one grounded in distrust. It's grounded in like lack of communication. Like it sounds like for you, you need to tell him why it makes you feel uncomfortable, why he keeps retweeting other women's pictures. And the fact that you say female, I was like, okay, so are these like celebrities? Are these just other women he finds attractive? Mm-hmm. And then why does that make you jealous? So you're experiencing jealousy, and that's something you can talk about. For me, this sounds like a really miserable relationship. I've been in these kinds of relationships before. Not now, thank God. No jealousy here. But I'm also not retweeting other bitches on X.
So females is bad, but bitch is good.
Yeah, bitch is good.
Oh my God.
What do you think about it, Amber?
I don't know, because I think we all have different rules for our relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is unfathomable for you and I to be like, if you were on Twitter retweeting photos of other beautiful women, I cannot see myself being pressed about it. One, because I don't twiddle. I don't care.
But also why? Would you want to know why? Like, why are you retweeting just all these beautiful women? Do you just like?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put myself in this person's, like, okay,
why is he doing that?
I would definitely want to know why, but it's kind of like porn.
Make some of your own content. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of the porn thing. It's like, I think it would upset most people if they found out their partner was paying like exorbitant amounts of money in porn.
Not exorbitant. You also have access to those accounts.
I do. And we watch porn together sometimes. Yeah. So that's why it's like, it doesn't bother me, because it's like, I don't think of that as cheating on me. I don't think, mm-hmm. like, I think we should all be pleasuring ourselves and prioritizing self-care. And so like, and it doesn't matter to me, like, is he watching black women more versus white women? Like, I don't care. Like, that's your own private thing.
But actually, what is he watching more?
I mean, maybe I just don't have the time to care, but so.
Decision
fatigue. Right, right. Make a decision. You want black girls? Like, okay. But it is interesting that he is doing this in a capacity where he thinks you can't see it. There is definitely something deceptive going on. I don't think you're acting crazy. I want to assure her of that, because like, it is hard sometimes when you feel like I'm the only person that does this or whatever. Even earlier today, Ben said a comment to me regarding the nudes conversation, right? Again, this conversation between me and Ben wasn't like super heated or anything, but I remember Ben saying something to the effect of like, you know, you're the only person that I know that even does stuff like this. And I'm like, I know I'm not.
You're the only person I know well that will share to me that they send nudes. I don't actually know people,
like, right. Whereas who send nudes, I was like, I know these three friends of yours definitely be sending nudes. Like,
yeah, probably, yeah.
Right, but in that moment you feel crazy, because you're like, there's no way in the world I'm the only wife I guess sending
like
nudes.
The guys like, I know. I don't know the guy friends I know.
I'm like, no, I've seen so many dick pics. Like, this is, I'm not the only one.
But they
one.
Weren't my friend's dicks.
That is correct, to my knowledge. I'm just kidding. But I would love to know, like, what picture, if he's retweeting, like, Halle Berry, Gal Gadot, like, women that he could never, like he's not going to come in contact with these women. It's like, who cares? But just, if it's like, just friends weird. Of yours or something, like, that's what it is for me. What's
yeah,
weird?
I think it's just weird when people retweet just pictures of other people
yeah.
that they find attractive.
You know me. I still kind of don't. I was talking to Vinny about it 2 weeks ago, but I kind of still don't really understand how Twitter works. I mean, I guess retweeting something is essentially saying, like, I agree with this. Yeah. I like this. I want this to be on my page too.
Or maybe
I
like
share
it's
this.
Like a style. Maybe if he's into fashion or something. But he's like, oh, these women are just beautiful. Here's all the women I find attractive. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Also sounds like a waste of time. Like, are you just... When I retweet or repost something, I'm like, I'm doing it because I like this person's content. Yeah. I'm doing it to make it fun of it or to parody it. I'm doing it to just to get an idea out there that I agree with. When people just like retweet a picture.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Of like, I don't know, a famous, beautiful person. A model, like a Kim
yeah.
Kardashian.
I'm like, yeah, Taylor okay, Swift, Beyonce. Why? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like...
I don't think you're... I think but you are totally justified in saying why.
She said he does it constantly, too. That's the word. Like,
that's weird.
Yeah, I definitely think you are well within your right to ask your partner, like, not to stop doing it, but just, like, hey, you know, you don't do this on Instagram. You're not constantly resharing photos of women on Instagram or Facebook. I'm curious as to why you're doing this on Twitter. I'm genuinely curious as to why you see beautiful women and don't think it's enough to just like the picture. Like, you have to also show other people how beautiful this person is. I'm not understanding why.
Or just examine that feeling. Like, where is that? Is it jealousy? Like, let then have a conversation about jealousy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When people argue about what things are being posted or not posted on their partner's socials are so strange to me.
Yeah, it's
like,
hard.
It seems like a long... Like, it's a world that I know is important and how our physical interactions with our partners have so much to do with the social media interaction we have with our partners and how oftentimes your partner's social media presence is a direct reflection on you. And actually now, the friends that you have, their social media presence directly relates to you.
Yeah, it'll be like, ooh, did you just soft launch your boyfriend or whoever?
Anything. But even like any views, like anything at all. Like people are going to approach you and be like, why is your boyfriend like reposting all these like other women? You know what I mean? Like,
that's true. Like your partner is.
Yeah, yeah. Because social media is not just a representation of your own ideas. It's also the representation of what other people are going to make assumptions about you and your friendships and all that social connections, and sounds incredibly icky and complicated.
I mean, because you want your friends and your peers to think that, like, no, I chose like a really genuine good person that loves me and cares about me. So when your person is doing something icky or being very vocal about things that you're like, I do not agree with this at all. Like, so now people are going to think I'm, you know,
I agree
like birds
this,
of a feather flock together. Can you just sit still for a second for me? I'm sorry. When that was happening, my head was like, well, let me ask you, why do you think you're spinning from side to side?
I have to go pee.
Oh, good to know. See, I'm glad I asked. Okay. All good with the letters?
Yeah, we're good with the letters. Enough of this.
All right. The last segment of our show is called Shelfie. Tina. That's what you look like when you dance. Tina. Tina Belcher. We love Bob's Burgers. It is the show that made us confess our love to each other.
It is.
What's the segment about, babe?
We talk about books and movies and TV shows we've been reading, watching, listening to. And we're reading a book called You're Not Listening, because we need to become better listeners.
Yes.
We need to grow as as relationship experts. We need to read books, synthesize the information so that you, listener, can become a better human.
We need to grow and listen. To just be better married people.
Better married people.
Yeah. I don't even want to be an expert. I just want to, like, just live the best life I can with you.
Yeah.
So just how do we do that? And this, I think we've already learned, like, this book is, like, changing the way that we speak to each other. Minus yesterday's blow up. But other than that, we've been having a lot of really good days. I think yesterday was just, like, the culmination of, like, wild teething, us not, like, it's like, da, 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 period. Like, you know, just so many things. So, yes, You're Not Listening is by Kate Murphy. And you have right here, do you want me to tell you what you wrote right here?
Yeah.
About, like, what listening is. You wrote, or you've extrapolated from the book, rather, listening is about noticing hand motions, intonation of voice, asking open-ended questions.
We could just go with that.
Okay.
That's the first thing that stuck out with me.
And then we have an example that we had recently. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
No. A big part of this book is about listening and how to become a better listener. But what she makes the huge point at is that listening is not just hearing the words, but it's like picking up to intonation, eye contact, not even eye contact, but like how that person shifts their body when you say something, like their grimace, how they, reflect on a certain tone. And there are many examples where Amber will say something directly. You want to share that example? I forgot what I wrote, actually.
The laundry. So one night, I had done so much laundry that day, and I just needed Ben's help, like folding it. I needed Ben's help, like folding it and getting it in the closet. And I want to say, like, we have stairs in our house, and so, you know, we take the laundry from the top floor, and then we go down to the bottom floor, and it's up and down and up and down. So I had done about 3 or 4 loads of laundry, of washing, drying, going up and down, up and down. And I get them all upstairs, and I didn't get to finish folding all of them. So I was like, Ben, could you just fold the last of these? Because I had to go out somewhere, or I wanted to go out. You know, I was going out. Mm-hmm. And you started folding.
Yeah, and then halfway through, I was like, I don't want to fold anymore. I want to just get in bed and read. I was like, can I do that, Amber? Can I finish this tomorrow? And Amber was like, I guess, which prior to Ben reading this book, I guess simply means yes. I guess means yes. But when you're really listening to someone, listening to her tone of voice, which was like deep sigh, I guess. And then also the phrase, I guess, does not mean yes. That means I'm too tired to say no and to argue with you, right?
Well, you know what was really happening in the moment? So not only had I done 80% of the job, and I was just asking you to do 20% of it, I know, and I love you, but I know, can I do this in the morning is almost code for, I'm probably not going to do it in the morning either. You know,
I'm
like, sometimes you'll
off.
Be like, I'll get to those dishes in the morning. And I'm like, he ain't getting to those dishes. Yeah. So I was really trying to ask myself, Amber, are you okay with the fact that you gave Ben 20%? He did 10% instead of 20, and that might be all he does. So that was the real question. It was like, if I knew you were going to go to sleep and wake up the next morning and get right to those clothes, I think I would have been like, you know what? Yeah, just get to them in the morning. But I just did not have the trust at the time. Probably still don't, just because I know how you move. You like to sleep in a little bit and then get your coffee and then take Wild out. Like, things that have meaning, but those clothes would have just sat all day. So I was really asking myself in that moment, like, am I okay with Ben not even completing the little task I asked him to complete?
Yeah, that's everything she said with, I guess.
Correct.
Right? And so this whole book is really about listening to people and picking up those nuances. So I was like, okay, I called her out. I was like, okay, what do you mean by I guess? And then she actually said everything she just said to me. So I asked her, I was like, okay, I heard you say I guess. And then I got up and did it because I was really listening to her, and I knew that by listening to not only like her words, but also to the whole package, you actually get to the meaning of things a little bit better.
Yeah.
And this book is fantastic in dealing
with that. I just
did
that. I was like, why are you shifting from side to side? Like, you just, maybe he'll cut it or something, but I was like, why are you shifting?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I have to pee. I was like, oh, we should pee.
Yeah.
Like, but I think prior to listening to this story, I would have gotten home and been like, well, the last half of the show, you was shifting back and forth. Like, why can't you hold the seat?
Well, I knew we were coming towards the end of the show, so I didn't want to take a break and, you know, come back and, you know.
I know, but I think if the shoe was on the other foot, you would have told me, like, oh, go use the bathroom, you know?
Yeah. So I'm trying to
like, demonstrate the compassion that you demonstrate for me.
I do
a lot more.
Demonstrate compassion.
Yes.
And
like I said, yesterday was like the first time we yelled at each other in like, I'm sure, months.
Yeah. I didn't do any yelling. You did all the yelling.
Yeah, we yelled at each other.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how much yelling at each other we were doing.
Absolutely, I did not yell. I mean,
but you know I atoned. I was like, I want to like.
Yeah, you felt
bad. I don't know what was going on, but that was not okay. I shan't talk to you like that. Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. It's just you're never that apologetic unless you really fucked up.
I fucked up today too. Remember I came home late from the gym because I was taking my time at Jamba Juice or walking slowly to the car, checking a Instagram DM here. And you were like, we have to go to
Yeah,
Wild's
she forgot.
Class.
Usually I forget things. Yeah. I got to start keeping track of these things. I think Amber forgets way more than I give her credit for. So I got to keep track.
But here's the thing in the spirit of listening. When I forgot today, what was my response?
You're like, oh, I'm sorry.
I apologized multiple times. Mm-hmm. When you forget, you're like, apologize. Well, we do so much on the calendar. There's always something on the calendar. Like you'll like mock the system.
Me?
Yes.
Me?
Yes. You'll be like mad at me that I'm mad at you.
Absolutely not. I'm never mad at you for being mad at me.
You're just like, well, she doesn't even need to be going to these classes. Like, I'm like, what?
If I forgot. You also left.
Oh, my God.
Like, all the wet Amber. I've been feeling sick. So she took Wild to swim lessons and she left all of Wild's like wet towels and your wet bathing suit, and it stunk up the car.
I know, but you know why? Because after swim, I took her to the grocery store so I could get tons of groceries. Mm. So I was like, been sick, so let me take her out.
Sounds like
let me
you're
get groceries for the house. Yeah, because I forgot because I was doing other things for the house.
Yeah.
But I'm not sitting here saying I didn't forget. I definitely forgot.
Yeah. And that's
and
the thing.
Car did stink because of me.
I think that was a nice because I'm usually the one who goes and get the groceries and I take care of the house. And so when you have all these little tasks, you sometimes forget like the things. They like little things will sort of fall in between when you have a lot of tasks. I was like, whatever. It's fine. It happens. We forget things.
Like our friend Daniel was saying before the show, it's like if you're newer to the task, you sometimes don't do it as smoothly. Like if something happened where Ben was sick for another 2 weeks and then I had to like start cooking because we can't eat out every day. We've actually been eating out significantly less, to be honest with you, just like because of time and it's expensive. But like, if I was new to that task, like it's just not going to be done as smoothly as it is when you do it.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be like a little bit of grace, in the words of Ryan Mitchell, a little grace and space if we're picking up a new practice. And I think I needed to have that a lot more for you with all of this like career stuff that's happening very quickly because like that is still pretty like relatively new, you know, within like the last like 2 to 3 years of our relationship, like you having to like help me edit and be at photo shoots and like all these things. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this book is definitely, I don't know, it's helping us to, sorry, I just read this note here that you said, it's about the co-construction of ideas, not constructing your own thoughts and puking them. So like, like a conversation.
A conversation is
us co-constructing.
Yes. And finding meaning, new meaning through our conversation. It's not me just puking out my ideas. But to truly listen to someone means that you're open to change your ideas.
Right.
You're open to challenge your own ideas.
Or there was even this one notion in the book that talks about how sometimes it's like you don't know your partner as well as you think you do because like we've heard all of each other's stories. Like nothing's new with us. And that's just not true. What the reality is like when Ben and I do new experiences together, we learn new things about each other. And that's why so many times on this podcast, even we'll be like, oh, I never knew that. Like I'm learning this on the podcast with the listeners. It's like, well, cause we never like structured a dialogue to talk about it.
And also, we could just have been bad listeners, is what she's she suggests. Like at one point she talks about, have you ever been out with your partner and your partner says something new to someone and you realize, oh, I never knew that about my partner.
Right.
And she's like, well, maybe you're a bad listener. Yeah. And this person who's listening to your partner, truly listening, is going to extract new information, because great listeners are not people who just nod and make eye contact and are active listening. No, great listeners extract information and get the people that they're listening to tell them things. She gives these wonderful historical examples of Lyndon B. Johnson doing that, LBJ, the president who was known for, you know, playing both Republican and Democratic sides pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Or this like CIA guy who's like a really good like listener. He's honestly like, it's not like I'm good at listening. That's how I can
extract
help
and manipulate
find
people.
Terrorists and make people confess, because I just walk into the room and I'm like, tell me your story.
Yeah. Yep.
And I listen intently.
It's an incredible book.
Do you think you've also been listening to people like besides me better this week?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been finding that too.
Like really just looking them and honestly being like, okay, yeah, what's up? Like, and they talk about
away from this bad boy right here.
Your phone.
Because
she's
when you go out
phone.
To when you go out to eat with yes, thank you for that. For the listeners, when you go out to eat with friends, and I remember on one page, Kate Murphy talking about like how people's phones sit on the table like a place setting, like it's another fork, it's another spoon. And so I've been like, I typically am not on my phone a lot when I'm out and about with people anyway, because I'm on the phone all freaking day. But now I'm just like hyper aware of where my phone is when I'm interacting with other people, like. Like, I don't even need to check the time, like, unless they go to the bathroom. But I feel like when we go around, like, family or friends sometimes, now I'm so hyper-aware of everybody's phone being out.
It disrupts information. It disrupts spontaneity. It disrupts true human connection, which is what this book explores.
Or one thing she said also in the book, I know we're about to close, but one thing that was really interesting to me was the part about, like, let's say I want you to see a video or something. Mm-hmm. I could just describe the video to you.
Yeah.
I could do that with my words. I could do that with my intonation. But what we do is like, oh my God, I saw this funny. You know, let me just show it to you, you know? And then that stops the flow that could have been the co-construction of ideas, which is what she was talking about. So I think this book is changing our relationship.
Yeah, it's a good one. I want to read more relationships books with you.
Yeah.
And then we can write our own relationship books and then sell it to people and become like, you know,
no, I don't want
gatekeeper, boss girl.
Gatekeep.
Gaslight, boss girl.
And girl boss. Yes, yes, yes.
Gatekeep, girl boss.
Gatekeep.
Gatekeep.
Gatekeep, girl bossing.
And gatekeep,
gaslight.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll sell you our relationship book for relationship happiness.
At promo code. Anyway. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wallin. It's going to be me and my main man here next week. We will see y'all next week for the show. Bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye, cousins.
You know they're from TikTok, because those laughs keep you coming, because they're wildin' all the time. Before wild throws a tantrum, listen to our silly anthem, because they're wildin' all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wildin' all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall. Leave.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.